Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've got here, somebody sent a little clip from a newspaper in Indiana, and I'll just read it to you here. After reading the editorial concerning the poor living conditions endured by Indiana's death row inmates, I have to wonder, why don't we execute them? That would solve the problem. That would solve the problem. Thank you to the listener in Indianapolis for sending that. The news of the day, the French have come up with, actually, they've been asked to provide a defense lawyer for Saddam Hussein by Saddam's nephew. Saddam's nephew has sent a message to a French lawyer who's made his career defending murderers, Nazis, Slobodan Milosevic, Klaus Barbie. And so the French, apparently, at least this lawyer, Jacques Vergès, is eager to defend Saddam Hussein in his upcoming trial for probably genocide and crimes against humanity in Iraq. So that'll be quite an interesting trial, and we'll see if any of that takes place during the current presidential election cycle. And we'll keep you informed on that. You know, defense attorneys, they have this notion that it's okay to mislead a jury in a courtroom as long as you improve your chances of getting an acquittal. So we'll be talking about that later next week. But right now, this is primary season, and it applies not only to the Democrats as they select their presidential candidate to run against Republican George Bush, but the other five major political parties also select their own candidates: the Constitution Party, the Reform Party, the Green Party, the Natural Law Party, and the Libertarian Party. Now, who are all these people? Well, conservative Christians form the Constitution Party, environmentalists the Green Party. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, remember him? He helped found the Natural Law Party, and after further meditation, he's called for a disbandment of his party. And Ross Perot, he formed the Reform Party, which has been reforming itself ever since. But many Christians who are dissatisfied with the Republican Party, as I am, have looked to the Libertarian Party, as I have not, mostly because of its belief in limited government and low taxes. But I have long seen the Libertarian Party as an enemy of morality. Well, their leading presidential candidate, Gary Nolan, has the opportunity to correct me if I'm wrong here at Bob and Yart Live. So as he consolidates his lead for the Libertarian Party's nomination as their presidential candidate, Gary Nolan, tell us why the Libertarian Party is a good party.
Well, because we believe, as the founding fathers did, that you are supposed to have government to protect us from each other and to protect us from government.
All right.
And that we are supposed to be a free people, and that we are accountable and responsible for that liberty. We believe in that, and we believe that that vision the founding fathers gave us is what enabled us to go from a third world country to a world superpower in under 200 years. We got to get back to that vision.
All right. So could you put some meat on that description, Gary? I think pretty much everyone in the world mostly would agree with some of the things you've just said. To start with, did I characterize you guys correctly, saying you're generally for limited government and low taxes?
That part of it is right.
All right.
You know, one of the most egregious, let's talk this from the positive side, because if you really want to create jobs for the poor and the middle class,
yeah,
you need to do is put money back in the hands of the people who earn it. And I don't care at what income level that is, but the income tax is a particularly offensive piece of legislation. My father was a structural iron worker, and he wasn't a rich executive from back east. He was just a two-fisted Irishman who made his living climbing on steel girders. But if he worked too many hours of overtime, if he worked too hard trying to feed his family, he would net less pay. What benevolent government would do that to a hardworking man? Let's get rid of this income tax. Let's try and envision an America where they bring home, where workers bring home their gross paycheck. Imagine what would happen. The cost of compliance with the IRS regulations, 20% of everything you buy. The cost of goods and services would drop. People bring home their gross paycheck. Imagine how hot this economy would be. Can you imagine the job creation?
So say that again. Now, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've supported for 13 years now a flat tax, an income tax of 5%, which, of course, would require that the government no longer does the 1,000 social programs that it does. But tell us what kind of taxation the Libertarian Party advocates.
Well, I would prefer that we stay with the Founding Fathers tax, which was an excise tax. Frankly, what the federal government can do, and according to the Constitution, is if they outspend their income, they would apportion the debt to the states. Now, if you want to watch a bunch of state legislators and bureaucrats start screaming for smaller government in Washington, wait until we send them the bill for the...
All right, Gary, if we got all of our revenue for the government from excise tax, from our dealings with foreign countries, that would enable foreign countries, through a vehicle like the UN, to gang up on us and control our military spending, for example. It seems that it's more responsible for, as Americans, for us to say, we do need to come up with the money required to run the government.
Well, you're absolutely right, but you apparently don't know all the aspects of the federal excise tax.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're buying tires, gasoline, all of those things have a federal excise tax, and it raises literally tens of billions of dollars a year for the federal government.
All right, so
one of the few things the government is supposed to do is defend the United States. So
right, we agree on that. That's the primary function of the government, is to provide for our defense, both from criminals locally and from foreign aggressors.
Right.
But so basically, with the excise tax, it sounds like you're saying an excise slash sales tax, so that people who sell you tires should collect that tax.
Well, they do it now.
When you
buy a new set of tires, you see FET in a dollar amount.
Yeah.
We're already paying that in addition to the highway tax and the airport tax.
Let me suggest to you why one reason that's a bad idea is because the government doesn't have the right to conscript tax collectors to force me as a private individual to become a tax collector. And actually, I despise having to collect taxes for the government. I don't want to do it, and I don't want to have an opportunity 50 times a day to defraud the government when customers come to me and say, hey, let me pay you cash, and we'll defraud the government. That's what a sales tax does.
Well, this isn't a sales tax.
Well,
it's an excise tax on manufacturing, and it is the same tax that our founding fathers put in that still remains to this day. So it's not like we're not allowed to have it. It's not like it's something new. Mm-hmm. It's not like it doesn't work. All of those things are true that I just said.
All right. Well,
but what we need to do is reduce the size of the federal government so that we can exist on that tax.
Yeah. Now, we agree with that. Reduce the government, exist on its fair share of our GNP. But so could you answer this with a yes or a no? The government has the right to force private individuals to become tax collectors.
Well, whatever the Founding Fathers said, it must be true because they are the ones who said.
Okay. Well, I think they were wrong and that the government does not have the right to force individuals, private businesses, to become tax collectors.
Well, individuals don't. Companies do. Corporations
do. Yeah, but I own my company.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have too many employees.
Well,
and so anyway, so there's a point of disagreement.
Your preference is that you have to do paperwork with a flat tax to take part of people's salary out,
right?
Send it to Washington. So you're going to collect the tax one way or the other.
Yeah, we're going to have the individual taxpayers have the responsibility of 5% flat tax of their income.
Well, they will still have you collecting that tax. They will still need a lot of personal information, even if it fits on a postcard that they're not entitled to. But let's look at the positive side, Bob.
Yeah.
You and I both agree that we need to reduce the federal government considerably.
Yes.
And when's the last time you saw that happen?
Never.
Did the Republicans do it? Did the Democrats do it?
The Republicans grow the federal government faster than the Democrats do every time they get into the White House.
So you want to send them a message? Here's what we can look at. Let's look at history, because I, like you, didn't like Bill Clinton at all. But we were in gridlock. Republican legislature, Democrat in the White House.
Yeah.
That's like damage control. The rate of growth for the federal government was 2.5% to 3%. Now the party of smaller government is in charge. The rate of growth is 7 to 10%, and that doesn't include defense spending. That's just domestic spending.
Gary Nolan, that's been true for half a century. Whenever the Republicans get the White House, they increase spending and the size of government far faster than the Democrats have ever had the opportunity to do.
So if you vote for George Bush, the message is you're on the right track. You don't want to send that message. If you don't vote, you send no message. If you vote for John Kerry, that's certainly the wrong message. But if you vote for Gary Nolan, one of two things will happen.
Yeah.
You'll either give me the momentum to win the White House, in which case I guarantee you smaller government. And you and I both know when Washington says smaller government and when you and I say smaller government, it's a different definition.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, I tip us back into gridlock.
Well, yeah, Bob and Yurt Live, our slogan for a dozen years on the air has been pray for gridlock.
Well, I'm the man
we actually want gridlock.
I'm the guy who can provide it.
Okay. All right. Could I do this? Gary, we come from a conservative Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when, you know, we get callers who say, hey, I like the Libertarian Party because lower taxes, small government, strong on defense. And here's the 20-second soundbite I give them of why I'm against the Libertarian Party. Because you guys are in favor of legalized abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, pornography, prostitution, for legalizing drugs like ecstasy and crack, for legalizing suicide. That's why I view the Libertarian Party as immoral conservatives. People have some idea of economic responsibility, but morally speaking, there's absolutely no moral foundation in the party.
All right. Well, let's you and I go over a couple of those issues and see if I can't enlighten you about my position and my way of thinking.
Yeah.
For instance, I do believe that we should get the federal government out of the drug war. You know, they have minimum guideline sentencing requirements that have caused an overcrowded condition in prisons all over the country. And what the states are doing is releasing rapists and murderers because they have no recourse. The federal government mandates that they hold these nonviolent drug users in prison X number of years. I would just as soon the nonviolent drug users have another alternative and that we hang on to the rapists and murderers. Do you think that makes sense?
I want to execute the rapists and murderers.
Okay,
and therefore, you have a lot of room to deal with other criminals.
Okay, well, we're not going to be able to do that in the speed that you would like. But it doesn't make sense for the federal government to tell each state how long they will punish a criminal in their state. So
well,
let the states handle it.
All right, so, yeah, we can agree that mandatory guidelines for sentencing for imprisoning people for 10 years are absurd.
So
but as far as legalizing crack and ecstasy...
Did I say anything about... All I said was,
yeah,
let the states decide how they want to handle it.
Yeah, and I think that's wrong because we have states like Massachusetts, California, that will legalize drugs, most likely in time. And Gary Nolan, as the leader of the country, would allow them to do that, I think, lacking the moral insight to know that it would help to destroy a generation of young people, unleashing something unlike anything we've done yet.
Well, Bob, let me ask you something, because I think you and I essentially want the same things. We're just going about it a different way, I think. Do you think that everything that is immoral should be illegal?
No. No, there's a threshold between sins and crimes.
Okay. Is it a sin to lie?
It's a sin to lie. It's not a crime unless you're defrauding someone or violating a contract.
Okay. So now we've made a distinction that you and I both understand.
Yeah.
That because it's immoral and lying is immoral,
right,
it doesn't necessarily mean it should be illegal.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So... In many of these cases, you and I, are not talking about is giving individuals, once again, as we used to, the right to be discerning. For instance, if somebody is a homosexual and you disagree with their lifestyle,
right,
and you, I mind you that you're speaking now with a recovering Republican and a staunch conservative, if you find that that lifestyle is abhorrent, you should have the right to say, I don't want you working for me. I don't want you living with me. I don't want you renting from my property. You should have the right to be discerning, because that's how society used to protect itself.
Well, our founding fathers, when George Washington was the president, the 13 colonies, homosexuality was a crime, and you didn't have two men walking hand in hand in a city park, giving a little smooch in front of your kids or grandkids.
Where did the federal government, tell me what law... in the Constitution made that a federal crime.
It was a crime. In fact, when Thomas Jefferson was governor of Virginia, being convicted of homosexuality was a capital crime.
Now, I'm running for federal office. I want to know which law in the Constitution made that illegal.
Well, it's, child molesting is not illegal by the federal Constitution,
right,
but the leaders,
you're telling me,
the leaders of our, Gary, the leaders of our country need to have a moral compass so that they know that child molesting should not be legalized anywhere,
Bob,
neither should abortion or...
Bob, what you're telling me is that the states should be deciding this because the federal government doesn't have the authority to.
No, the federal government should not allow owning black people or killing Jews or raping women. No subdivision of government should have the right to legalize rape.
You're on the right track here. You're
Go
right.
Ahead.
It is in fact not a federal crime. It is a state crime. So let's keep the federal government out of it, and that's the office that I'm running for, office.
Well, so do you think so? But Gary, you and I just completely disagreed. How about this? As a principle of government, should any subdivision of government have the right to legalize murder or rape or kidnapping?
Of course not.
Right. So that ultimately you've just admitted that the federal government bears absolute responsibility for these issues.
No. I suggest that the Constitution orders this to be handled by the state.
And the Constitution was wrong if your last answer was right.
No, the Constitution was right. The subdivision that I'm referring to is from
the states.
State legislature or the local communities' legislatures to determine what the punishment and the crime will be, not
right.
The federal government.
Right,
the
but you just said no subdivision of government should
no
have the
subdivision
right.
Subdivision of government, I'm talking about state and local governments, should not have the right to say...
Okay. I see your point. So let me take your thinking one step further. I think you should consider that the federal government should never allow any of its subdivisions to legalize murder, kidnapping, rape, owning black people as slaves.
Well, I don't think the federal government has no say so. There are very few.
Well, they
crimes.
Should. They should.
No, well, then you are disagreeing with the founding fathers.
Well, how about
and
where
if you and I both agree that the Constitution is a pretty good document?
I don't. I don't agree with that.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you thought that the Constitution was a pretty good. I think it is. I think it's. It is.
Well, the Constitution.
The finest governing document that the world has ever seen.
Well, Article 1 made black people 3/5 of a human being. So that
seems like a
really bad start for a really good constitution.
It said all men are created equal.
That's the Declaration of
right.
Independence.
Right.
That's
it says
not the
all men are created equal.
That's not the Constitution.
Right.
The Constitution,
yeah.
Article 1, identifies black people as, you count them as 3/5 of a free person.
And did we not correct that?
Yeah, but we can't say the Constitution was the greatest document if Article 1 is a disaster.
Well, the Constitution has been amended,
yeah,
and it is, and I believe always was, because at the time that was written, slavery was ubiquitous around the world. It was accepted as the norm. So we, as Americans, are the first country to really outlaw slavery. Once again, we are pioneers in liberty.
So could I ask you this, Gary, if we
sure.
could... Let's go to the idea that you raised earlier, consenting adults, government should allow individuals the freedom to make their own decisions.
Certainly they should.
So by that, I assume that you think pornography and our porn video industry should be allowed to remain legal.
That isn't to say that I advocate its use any more than
right.
I advocate the use of drugs or alcohol
okay.
or tobacco.
I understand.
But I wouldn't
think,
outlaw anything
but
that...
You, right.
That is a victimless crime.
Okay, so you think that should be legal, and how about prostitution?
I think that also should be
legal.
First, as a candidate for federal office, I don't dictate that order
right.
to the states, but if I were running for state office, I can tell you that I would rather that this trade be...
legalized and regulated.
Well, I would think it would be a lot safer for
all right.
Both sides.
Well, let me give you a scenario and tell me from your moral foundation as someone who wants to be a leader, tell me what you think of this. If the libertarians won and it's up to consenting adults, and if a woman wants to sell her body, she can sell her body. So I've got a friend who owns a company and they make private jets. That's what they do. And so they want to increase their sales. A saleswoman can make $100,000 a year selling small planes to foreign businessmen. So her boss says, look, we'll hire you, but you have to accept our customers' sexual advances. Otherwise, we won't hire you, and you'll get fired if you don't put out for our customers. So under Gary Nolan's Libertarian Party America, a business would be allowed to treat a woman like that under the supposed principle of consenting adults.
How wonderful the country is that she can say, I wouldn't take this job before the last job on earth.
No, but a million desperate women would take the job.
If that were true.
So men could treat women that way if they so chose in your America, right?
Well, if you write any rules that prevent that, you then hurt people on the other side. For instance, if you write a rule that says, you know, if you want to come to work for me, you have to wear a suit and tie. Well, maybe you don't want to wear a suit and tie. Well, then you can't come to work for me.
Right. That's reasonable. That's reasonable.
Well, then who's going to be the arbiter of reasonable?
The boss. As long as he's not committing a crime against...
Well, what is his crime?
There's no crime having a dress code.
What is his crime in the other scenario?
In the other scenario, it should be illegal sexual immorality should be recriminalized, and selling your body for sex is a crime.
It is not a crime. Suppose that I were to go wine and dine a woman, and I fall in love with her, and I want to make love to her. I don't want to buy sex. I fall in love with her, and we decide that we're going to make love. Is that somehow a crime?
With our founding fathers, it was a crime, as was prostitution.
And would you make that a crime today?
Yes.
So you would arrest anybody?
Yeah, we would reestablish the laws against adultery and
deception. Well, what happens if I'm not really? What if I'm an agnostic? And then marriage is a religious institution, but I'm not religious. Would you be punishing me for
marriage? Was always the authority for marriage has always been with the government and not.
No, it has not.
Well, wait. Let me finish. Not the church, in that the government has the use of force so that it could enforce inheritance, child custody, divorce. That's why God authorized governments to be the final arbitrator on marriage,
the
church.
In this country, we didn't even need a marriage license. Yeah. Until we began trying to prevent interracial marriages. That was the impetus behind the marriage license.
Right. We didn't.
People would get married. They would enter it in their Bible. They would put it in their family
tree.
Right.
Governments had great latitude, they still do, on how they could allow people to marry. But governments had laws against polygamy, against marrying children.
Marrying blacks, interracial marriage.
And that's wrong, and that would be wrong. Let me give you another scenario.
Well, you've kind of danced away from this one, Bob.
Oh,
Let's finish this one first.
We don't do that.
So the point is that the government really doesn't have a say-so in who marries whom, that is between consenting adults.
Well, you and I disagree on that, right? I didn't dance away.
What two consenting adults would you prevent from marriage?
Two males. A father and his daughter.
You would tell
there are some examples.
See here, what we need.
How about a father who wants to marry his daughter? Would you allow that?
I have no say so in that.
Well,
I'm
asking. Do you think the government should allow that?
Yes, the government.
Okay, all right.
How often do you see that scenario?
I'll add that.
You're trying to do here is you're trying to come up with these anomalies that are so rare in society. And make it sound as though we're advocating them.
The reason,
when in fact we're not. Look, if we reduce the size of the federal government, privatize Social Security, get the government out of health care so it's affordable, people bring home their gross paychecks, the government has no reason to issue a marriage license, and if somebody decides to marry, I don't have to worry about underwriting a behavior I find abhorrent with my tax dollars.
Gary, I just added legalized incest to my list of objections to the Libertarian Party.
You can add all you choose, but if you're looking for a presidential candidate who will use the bully pulpit and use his veto power and veto pen and executive orders to reduce the government and accomplish the things that I've just suggested, then your listeners need to go to GaryNolan.com and they need to vote Libertarian. Otherwise, voting for the Republicans or the Democrats will result in the same thing that we've got now.
And the website for the Libertarian Party is lp.org.
Right.
That is a great domain name, lp.org. Gary Nolan, let me give you one last scenario. The Libertarian Party favors legalizing suicide. And so I think these ideas will have consequences. So a 20-year-old mother of two sees her former husband marry a new girlfriend. She's been depressed for 2 years. She's sick of it. She slits her wrist. And a friend calls the paramedics. Under the Libertarian Party's America, it would be a crime for this heroic paramedic to break down the door and save her, because you would say she has a right to kill herself. You would hold the door against the paramedic trying to save her life.
Well, I think your scenario is somewhat absurd, but what you're suggesting...
That doesn't happen.
But what you're suggesting is that we would arrest any couple who ever made love out of wedlock.
We just covered that issue.
Yeah,
I'm asking you about suicide.
Well,
Would you make it a crime for a paramedic by force?
Bob, yeah. I'm trying to finish this up.
Go ahead.
And what you're suggesting is that we arrest any couple that make love that aren't married.
That was our founding father's law in all 13 colonies.
And that's what you want to see today.
Yes, because we have a 50% divorce rate.
And you think that our party is an extremist party?
I'm extreme. I'm as extreme as they come.
Okay. All right. Touche there.
Okay.
I'll let you go on that one.
All right.
Okay,
last thing, Gary.
Gary,
yeah, last thing. Suicide. You guys want to legalize it. We want to save people who are so distraught that they go to kill themselves.
Well, what are you going to do when, on the other side of the coin, somebody is facing great pain and their malady is terminal and they want to find an escape?
Here's what I would do.
Are you going to arrest them for attempting?
Here's what we do. Pain management, because when you legalize suicide for dealing with pain, 15-year-old girls have more pain than anybody with cancer has ever dreamed of.
I don't believe that because I watched, listen.
When a boyfriend,
I watched three members of my family writhe and die from cancer.
Yeah, I've seen
it
too.
And they tried very hard to manage the pain, and they were unsuccessful.
Well, doctors are not geared to pain management as they should be. You know that suicide has become a leading cause of death of young people in America? And when the adult leaders tell young kids that suicide is an acceptable way of dealing with your pain, and that girl's boyfriend just left her, she's got more pain than anyone could imagine, and that's why kids are killing themselves. This is a new epidemic because our leaders are saying suicide is acceptable. It's
Bob,
socially appropriate.
Bob, do you believe, as I do, that parents have the final say-so in the legal rights of their children until they reach the age of adulthood?
That's too broad a statement, Gary.
So you don't think that parents have
Legal
obligation, responsibility,
sure,
and the right to dictate what their children will do until they're 18 years old?
Well, no, yeah, generally. They don't have the right to tell their kid suicide.
So in other words, if a child decides that they are going to commit suicide and the parent intervenes, the parent has the final say-so?
Yeah.
Then we've just solved the problem.
No, the government and the parent, and we haven't solved it because it's become an epidemic, Gary, with people.
If it's become an epidemic as it is.
It is.
Then the law isn't preventing it.
No, it's because we have the last 20 years of leaders telling kids suicide is a good thing. It's an acceptable way to deal with pain, and kids aren't stupid, so they hear that's a solution.
Parents have more influence on children than even peers. All the studies indicate it.
Well, yeah, sure. Hey, Gary.
Parents have the legal right to control their children to age 18.
All right. Gary, we're out of time, but I want to give out your website. It's GaryNolan.com. GaryNolan.com. You're the lead candidate for president, the presidential nomination of the Libertarian Party. We do want to thank you for coming on, Gary.
Bob, I want to thank you for a lively debate. It was great fun.
All right. I appreciate your time. And we are out of time. We're out of time. Tomorrow's show, should we divulge the topic of tomorrow's show? Tomorrow we'll take calls, all right? So you could call in and we might continue part of the debate we had going yesterday. And you could always call in and talk about follow-up to a previous show. Because Bob and Yurt Live, it's a quick one. It's over in 30 minutes. Where does the time go? But, you know, we're honored to be on the air with you here at KLTT 670 AM in Denver, and we invite you to come on out to Denver Bible Church. How about coming out on Easter? Sunday morning, the Resurrection Sunday service, we're going to give the evidence for the resurrection, the evidence why we believe Christ rose from the dead. So we're out of time. This is Bob Benyert reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.